Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Listen, spiritual warfare is not an easy thing, but when you know you have somebody that has your back and somebody that you can say, and hey, I'm like under attack. There's something and I don't know what it is, but I need someone. You can call upon someone, and that's why it's important for you girls to get to know each other. That's why it's important for you girls to connect with one another so you can fill each other up, so you can empower yourselves to do what God's asked you to do and not be broken down by the enemy. Okay? Cool? Well, for me, spiritual warfare started a really long time ago. I was raised in a preacher's house, as you probably know. How many of you do not know me? Oh, hi. Hello. Okay, well, let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Jess. I am Pastor Dan, the senior pastor's wife here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I am Pastor Luke. If you've ever been to the main sanctuary services, I'm his sister. Pastor Jim and Deborah are my parents. They're the ones that founded this church. They're the ones that built this church 28 years ago. And I am the best part of what I get to do. I am the women's ministry pastor. And I get to serve you and love you and pray for you. And I believe God is doing amazing things. And so that's a little bit about me. I've been married for 15 years and I have 3 children, Chloe, Micah, and Titus. My little girl just told me last night she saw a cute little boy and she got a little flutter in her stomach and I was like, this is not happening. And then I said, well, thank God it's a boy. That was my first thought. And Chloe went, what does that mean? And I'm like, girl. But that's a little bit of who I am. So now you know who I am. But I, most of all, love the word of God. And so let's get into what God says. So here I am. I'm this young girl. I'm like Chloe's age, probably about 11 years old. And I grew up in a preacher's home. My parents had those supernatural services. You know, they'd bring out the prophets and the healers. And they would grow legs back. And I'd see people, tumors fall off of people. And I would see blind eyes open. And I saw these things happen. I also saw demons manifest. And as a little girl, how do you process something like that? You're like, what is happening to that person? I don't understand, you know, and it was just something that I remember my heart went like, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then I went home and I remember me and my brother, it was summertime and my mom would let us stay up a little later. And so me and Pastor Luke, we loved Nintendo and my mom always calls it Nintendo. I don't know why, but we correct her still to this day. Mom, it is not Nintendo. And so she comes running in the room. She's like, turn off the Nintendo. And we're like, it's not Nintendo. And she's like, just turn it off. There's a demon in the house and get in your rooms. And we're going to pray it out. And I was just like, ooh. I mean, think about how does a little girl, I'm sure my mother would probably be like, why did I say that to you? You know, because I mean, I didn't know how to process that. I didn't know how to break that down. The first thought was like, oh God, I hope it doesn't get into me. And I hope it doesn't follow me in my room. You know, I mean, these are the things that you think about as a little girl. And so this is how I grew up. I mean, supernatural was just really just normal for me. But at the same time, I didn't realize that I had a fear of it all those years. And then here's Pastor Dan and I. We came and we started this young adults ministry here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center after Bible college. And I remember we were having a move of the Holy Spirit that night. And, you know, it was just really weird. We had been pressing and pressing in. We had gotten nothing for like months in shift. And we were just so frustrated as ministers. And we were just ready to quit. And I remember the strum of the guitar that night. It was like the Spirit of God fell. And we didn't know what to do. I was like, whoa, this is deep. And I just remember feeling God so powerfully. And all of a sudden, they tapped me on the shoulder. And they're like, we have an issue. I need you to come to the back. And I'm like, okay. And Dan's about to get up and preach. And at this point, I'm not a pastor yet. You know, I'm just Dan's wife. And so, and I go to this back room and there's this guy and he is literally manifesting. He has demons. And I'm going, pull out everything I learned at Rhema, pull out everything I know. Let me get my guns out. I was just ready to go, you know. I'm sending everybody out of the room that I know has sin in their life because I'm like, get out. You don't want none of this. And so, you know, I'm doing what I got to do. And so we helped this young man out and he gets delivered. And it was something that I really was like so overwhelmed by. But in the middle of it, I'm going to tell you something, it might freak you out. But in the middle of this, these demons were talking the whole time and I just kept telling them to shut up. And in the middle of it, they said, where's Chloe? How is Chloe doing? Where's your daughter? Do you know where she's at right now? Now, at this time, Chloe was 2 years old. And I was like, oh, hell no. And I meant that. Like, hell no. You are not touching my daughter. You're not going after my kid. But not kidding you, that man was delivered. We were free. God was good. But all of a sudden, my daughter started to wake up in terror every single night. And it was like that blood-curdling scream that you're like, I mean, I remember one time, damn, poor Dan. He, like, doesn't wake up very well. And so he, like, ah, like, he's running. And I think he was still sleeping. And so I'm, like, running before him, like, looking back, like, what are you doing? Like, and so we're running to her room to get to her as fast as we can. He full-on hits his toe, had no idea, split the whole nail off, cut it in half. I mean, it was bad, but he had no idea because he was still sleeping. And so we get to the room, and he's like, Chloe. And he's talking all weird, and I'm like, just go back to bed. Like, I got this, you know? So he wakes up, poor guy, he wakes up and looks down, and he's like, oh, my gosh, what happened? And in that moment, we realized, why are we thinking this is okay? Because this is a spiritual attack on our family. And when there's chaos, and when there's confusion, and when there's things like weird and random happening. Listen, girls, be on your game. Know what your accuser is doing to you. He is trying to take you down. He is trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal those things from you. And as my daughter was going through this, she couldn't really talk. And so I was just like, Chloe, well, what are you seeing? And she couldn't express to me because she couldn't put words together. And so, you know, because she was so little, she hadn't learned words yet. And so she would just point. She would just point and cry and point and cry. And I didn't know what it was. And I remember it was a Sunday morning. And the Lord had talked to me. And he said, when you go home, try and put Chloe down for a nap. And so I did in her room. And we put her down for a nap. And as soon as I laid her down, she jumped straight out of bed. And she goes, it's there. It's right there. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, like, my daughter is seeing things. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, break the assignment now. And I said, I break this foul assignment on my daughter in the name of Jesus. You go back to hell, you foul spirit. You will not consume her heart or her mind any longer. And at that point, it broke. And I'm not kidding you. Chloe laid down to sleep and did not wake up for like 5 hours because she was so tired. She hadn't slept for like weeks. And I realized, and the Holy Spirit started to minister to my heart because I went into prayer after that. Dan was still at church and I was at home, and I'm like, God, what's going on? And he said, when you were a little girl, the spirit of fear came on you, and you always shuddered when you heard about the devil, and you always shuddered when you heard about those things from the enemy, and you walked in fear, and that fear is now trying to consume your daughter, and you have to confront that fear so that it will break off of her. And then you're going to have to teach your daughter how to break that fear, that spirit of fear, off of her. And I went, okay, how do I do that? Well, that night I went to bed and I woke up and I could feel it. And I got up and we had this hallway. And I went in that hallway and I just looked down the hallway and I said, you foul spirit of fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will not overtake my life. You will not steal my daughter's joy. You will not torment my children or any children coming out of me from the future on. And I just declared over my house, and I went and got anointing oil. I anointed every window, every door. I know I slapped oil on Dan while he was sleeping, on Chloe while she was sleeping. I mean, I got crazy. Because I was like, there's no way you're taking my family. There's no way you're wasting my time any longer. There's no way that you're causing chaos and confusion in my home any longer. I'm taking my home back because I have that authority. And I had to begin to build myself up and understand my authority. Because until we understand who we are in Christ and what God has done and left us so that we can have power over the enemy, you will fail. He will play games with your head. He will play games with your family. You will not understand or recognize it until it's too late. Many of our troubles in our life are a result of demonic things under the command of Satan. Our physical, our mental, and our emotions are all a result of what we allow into our lives. You say, how does that happen? We need to be aware of these attacks so that we can fight them. Listen, girls, many things open up the doors to a spiritual world. I very much so guard my heart and guard my mind. I'm careful what I watch on my television. I'm careful what I put in my ear gate. What kind of music are you listening to? What are they talking about? Is it edifying? Is it ministering to your heart? Is it, you know, building you up spiritually? And not just for that side, but What is it that your kids are saying? What are we allowing to come out of our mouths? What is it that we're allowing in our homes? You know, some of you are married to very ungodly men, and they come in and out whenever they want. And they do whatever they want, and they carry things with them. And you know what? There comes a time when you're going to have to say, enough is enough. We're not going to let the enemy come in and steal my joy. You're not going to steal my children's hearts. I'm not going to allow torment to rise up in my home any longer. But I'm taking my home back for the things of God. And we're going to serve God in this house. And we're going to praise God in this house. And you know what? That's a stand. Now, that might be hard for you to do. Because, yes, we come under the mission of our husbands, if he's your husband. If he's not your husband, girl, kick him out. Because that is a demonic spirit that is overtaking your home, and you're in sin living with a man that is not married to you. You're in sin, and you're cursing yourself, and you're opening doors to the demonic and the spiritual realm. And you wonder why things are happening. I'm just going to be blunt and honest with you. You may not like what I have to say, but do you still love me? I love you. And so I'm going to be honest, okay? And I know we live in a world where it's not popular, you know, to go back. Oh, that's old school. You know, that's old school. We have to get married old school. The Bible isn't old school. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is. And the world is going to tell you that what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. And just because that's what our culture and our society says, I always go by what the Word of God says. Because in the end, I'm going to stand before my Father and be accountable for everything he asked and everything he said. And so I better get my sword out and my shield up, and I better know what it is that I've been called to do. And I better live according to his Word, because those will open up the doors for demonic things. When you allow sin in, it will creep in and it will steal you. It will steal your children. It will steal your husbands. It will steal your joy, and it will steal your life. You wonder why depression is hanging over your head? Well, you know what? You're dabbling into it. Don't give into it. Let's break those demonic oppressions on you today. Okay? All right. So this is how do I fight demonic spiritual activity? Because Pastor Jess, I don't know the first step in it. Number one, you have to know your authority. You are a daughter of the Most High God, and he's a good God, and he loves his children. And so when Jesus died on that cross, he went to hell the 3 days before he rose and ascended into heaven. He went down to hell and he took the keys of sin and death and sin and hell. And he came and he went and sat at the right hand of his Father. And in Ephesians, I'm going to give you scripture, because listen, we could teach on this for like 10 weeks. There's so much. This is just literally a dab and a taste, just so that you know that you have something that you can handle, okay? So I just want you to know, I'm not trying to squeeze it all in. Go to Bible college, because they can squeeze it all in for you, okay? But this is where it is. In Ephesians 1, okay, 15 through 23, I think it is. In Ephesians 3, 14. Those are scriptures that you guys need to get. I'm going to also write this down. It's called The Believer's Authority by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. That is one of the best books you could ever read on your spiritual authority and where and how to understand the things that God has done in your life and who you are, okay? So if you want to go deeper, those are good things. Also, Paul Billenheimer has a book, and it's called The Kingdom Principles to Overcome. And so those are books that you guys can read. I've read them. They're spiritually sound. They know what they're talking about, and it would be really great to go deeper for yourself if that's what you want to do, okay? And our bookstores will have those available for you. All right, so know your authority. In Matthew 10:1, I'm going to use this scripture, and it says, "And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over the unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal them, all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." In Luke 10:19, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you." I had to really question that day with Chloe. Okay, God, you're saying I have authority over these principalities of darkness. You're saying this, but I'm not believing it in my heart. I was in doubt. I was in fear. And I had to figure out what it was that was holding me back from believing who I was in Christ. Because it was already mine. It was already the price had already been paid. But yet I wasn't grasping what God had for me. Why? And it's because unbelief and fear were consuming my thoughts. And I had to get in there and I had to push through and I say, no, I'm going to push fear aside. Fear is no longer going to control me. My unbelief is no longer, I'm not going to let it. When those unbelieving thoughts come, I'm going to cast them out and I'm going to put God's word in my heart instead. And it literally was this battle of putting God, no, God says that I am more than a conqueror because he's already done it. I do not have a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I had to seriously go through that every day of every moment. And you know what I did? I didn't do it alone. I did it with my kids. So some of Chloe's first words were, I do not have a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So as my baby was learning how to speak, her words that she was speaking were scripture. And it's because I knew that the enemy was going to attack her. Just recently, she had been attacked and she was having thoughts of suicide, thoughts of killing herself, thoughts of pulling a gun and shooting herself. And I went, what? And I remember going, this is because of who you are, Chloe. And this is because of who mom and dad are. And the enemy's going to do everything to steal you. But you have to fight, baby girl. She said, how do I do that? And the other night, I was bugged about it. This was last week. I was bugged about it because they came back again. And I was pissed. I mean, can I say that in the pulpit? I was pissed. And the devil makes me want to cuss. So... And I remember laying there and I woke up because I had this really bad dream. And I've learned now over the years that when I have bad dreams and they're like demonic, I wake up very tired. And so I've learned to wake myself up in the middle of a dream and fight it in the natural because it's very supernatural. And so I woke up and I caught it in the middle and the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go lay hands on Chloe and Titus because Titus beats himself up too. And he said, you need to go lay hands on your children because the enemy is going to do everything he can to take them out. And I said, what spirit am I coming up against? He said, death and suicide. I said, okay, well, fine. He goes, and do not do it alone. Wake your husband up. He's the spiritual head of this house. Get him over there to lay hands on those children. So, you know, Dan, remember, he doesn't wake up good. And so it's like 2 a.m. I'm like, okay, I got to do this. I hope he's like, okay. You know, like she's crazy, you know? So he had no idea what he was marrying when he married me. So I'm like pushing on him and I'm like, honey, we have to go pray for the kids. Death and suicide is hanging over Chloe and hanging over Ty. And we need to break off a spirit of infirmity on Micah. And he goes, all right, you're preaching on spiritual warfare. Let's go. And he just got up and he walked down the hall calmly this time. And we laid hands on our kids and Chloe was up. It was like 2 a.m. and she was up. And I said, what are you doing up? And she goes, I just couldn't go to sleep. I just felt like, you know, I'm battling, mom. I'm battling. And I said, well, we're praying over you right now. The Holy Spirit woke me up to pray over you. She goes, okay. So we prayed over her. We prayed those things off of her. And we went to the boys' rooms, prayed over them. I went back to sleep, fell asleep, and I was good. I was not afraid. I was not concerned. I'm not tormented by what the devil's going to do to my daughter because he's a liar and he has no realm. He has no place over her life. And I'm not in fear over it. And we went back to sleep. I asked Chloe the next morning, how did you do, babe? Did you sleep okay? Were you okay? Oh yeah, mom, I knew my authority. I just took my authority. I was in agreement for what you and dad said and I slept. I'm good. And I'm like, right on. So listen, there are demonic things that are going to come, but we have power over snakes and scorpions, over principalities of darkness, and we can allow them to remain, or we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Wake up in the middle of the night, ladies. I know it's not fun, but we can go storm the castle. Last night, I was tormented all night long because I had to deliver this message all night long. And I went up and down my halls and I was like, oh, in the name of Jesus, you are not allowed to torment me. You're not going to. And I just went to town. I went to battle. You say, I don't want to fight. Well, then you know what? You're going to be taken out. You have to fight. It's not an option. The word says that he's seeking whom he may devour. But God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And you have to fight for a good life because we live in a world that is full of sin. But God has given us tools to overcome a dark world. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, as long as Satan can keep you in unbelief, this is what Brother Hagin says, or hold you in an arena of reason where we stay in our natural mind. Well, that doesn't really make sense. You know, but I don't know. I kind of felt it, but I just don't know. Or, oh, well, it's better off this way. And you start reasoning in your earthly mind. Listen, you do not fight demonic things with physical issues. You fight spiritual things in your spirit realm. Okay? Are you guys good with me still? Are we hanging? All right. So he says, the devil will whip you every time when you stay in that state of mind. But if you hold him in an arena of faith and in the spirit, you will whip the devil every time. I don't know about you, but I got to have my spirit man stirred up. I got to be in faith. I got to just press in. I got to not let the devil in. And you know, you go, guy, that sounds exhausting. After a while, it's really not. After a while, I have so much peace. When I know the attacks are coming, I'm kind of like, man, I'm going to bed. I'm not scared of you. Like, honestly, I told the story on Sunday night, Smith Wigglesworth. Here's this man. You know, he used to punch people in the face and tumors would fall off of them. Like, seriously, he one time pulled a man out of his casket because God told him, pull this dead man out of his casket and throw him against the wall. I mean, seriously, this is like bizarre stuff. Could you imagine being at that funeral? And he did it 3 times because nothing happened the first two. And the Holy Spirit said, do it again, do it again. You know what happened? The guy came back to life the 3rd time. There are spiritual things that we do not understand. And I believe that God wants to move in America and in the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And miracles are on the cuff of our spirit man being ready and right for it. And not allowing the devil to steal our miracles from us. And so here we go. Our spiritual authority is, this is who we are. I'm going to tell you another story. There's Brother Hagin. How many of you know who he is? Awesome. If you don't know who he is, get some of his books. I know you're probably younger in your faith and you just got saved. But listen, this man, he died, he went to heaven, a lot of stuff happened, and he was just very close to God. And when he came back, you know, I felt like he was my Bible teacher. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. We were the class that got him we were the last class he got. And Brother Hagin told us how he was going to die while he was preaching one day. And I remember sitting there like, that is weird. Like, I wonder if that's going to happen. So when I found out Brother Hagin died, Cheryl Salem, who was here last week, she knew him very well. She was like his daughter. And I said to Cheryl, how did he die? I need to know how he died. And she's like, okay. He went, and this is what he told us. Okay, let me tell you what he told us. He said, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to kiss my wife and tell her I love her, and then I'm going to go be with the Lord. And we were like, okay. So she said, Brother Hagin came downstairs, he kissed his wife, he told her he loved her, and he fell into his bowl of oatmeal. And he was gone. And I sat there and I went, okay, God, there are deep spiritual things that you want to tell us. God is not a respecter of persons. Why can he tell Brother Hagin those things and not us? Why can God use someone to heal, you know, the sick and open blind eyes? Why? Why? Listen, God says, I am not a respecter of persons. And so when we use our authority, all Brother Hagin did was tap into what he knew God did. He tapped into the authority that God left him here on earth. And so if we could learn from these incredible stories and understand the depths of what we deal with, we do not have to let the enemy steal our time and steal. Listen, when you are in a situation, you realize everybody's fighting around me. There's a lot of chaos happening in this situation right now. There's no clarity. It's usually a demonic attack. So that's a tip for you, because I had to learn that the enemy likes to waste your time. So he will just keep you on the same path over something over and over. And you will just go over it and over. And you're like, what is happening here? What is happening? It's evil, because he wants to waste your time. He doesn't want you to focus in on what God has for you. And so when Brother Hagin was praying for somebody, he used to do these healing crusades. And this lady brought her sister. Her sister had been in a straitjacket. You know, she was in a crazy bin for 20 years. And she said what happened was she just started convulsing one day. And after that, she was never normal. And they had to put her into a home because they didn't know how to help her. And she said, our only hope is you, because now they've drugged her enough that she's calm enough, but they want us to take her home. And we're kind of like, we don't know if we can handle that. And so we're bringing her to this healing crusade. And Brother Hagin said, okay, I'm going to pray over her. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I cast that demon out of you. You come out of her. And he literally walked away and he was like, done. And the sister was like, what? Nothing happened. Like, so she took her home. 2 days later, Brother Hagin gets a call and he says, and they say this to him, you will never believe what happened. she began to do whatever happened when she first got possessed 2 days later. And all of a sudden, she's fine. 20 years later, she's now in her 40s. And this girl who was little when she was consumed by these devils was now owned her own business. She was married. She was blessed. She was in her right mind. She was delivered. Now, we could say, well, why didn't it come out right away when I casted it out? Because he had faith that he knew. He knew he was going to get that call. Because sometimes it just takes time for God to do what he needs to do. But your faith behind it, in the name of Jesus, you have to be gone. When you can just have faith like a child, when you just know that God knows, then the devil will not sit there and waste your time. You don't have to go cast a demon out for 10 hours. You don't have to spit and scream and say, in the name of Jesus. You see these people acting all crazy trying to exorcise demons out of people. That is just not how God operates. It is calm. All you have to do is take your authority. You have to tell those things to get out of here. And you just put into place order in that situation, because the devil will bring chaos in that situation. You bring order. Okay? You're going, oh, Lord, I do hope I don't have to command any demons. And listen, a lot of times we do have to face the devil. Oh, she said devil. I've heard so many people say, we're not allowed to say that. Now, I was not Catholic, so I don't know if maybe that was taught in the Catholic Church, but that's what I hear. You don't say devil. You don't talk about him. Listen, I am not afraid to confront him, because I have an authority in Jesus Christ who died on that cross and who left his power on this earth so that I could be his hands and his feet, so that I can go and cast demons out of people, so that I can heal people, so that I can do what God has asked me to do. So when we say devil, I'm not afraid. And you should not be afraid of that either. You should use your authority and be the daughter that God has asked you to do. Go and contend for your homes, your husbands, your families, your children. Face him and say, you will not live and take over my family. That's what I had to do with that spirit of fear. I had to confront it in its face and say, I am not afraid of you, foul devil. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. And I sent him back to hell where he came from. And listen, we have to take our authority. The devil knows who you are. He has studied humanity for a very long time. Now listen to me. He does not read our thoughts. You go, oh, thank God. I swear I thought he did. You know, like, how does he know so much? He does not read our thoughts. But he understands and he studies humanity's mannerisms, our expressions, our words. He knows. He is not in your thoughts, but he is in your business. And he takes advantage of it. And he knows. Think about it. He's been studying humanity for how long? So he knows when certain things are going down. He knows patterns of stuff. He has been studying us and he thinks he's on his game. But the problem is that he's not on his game, because we're on our game and we're not going to let him get away with it. So instead of just thinking, oh, in the name of Jesus, quietly in your head, go away, devil. He's not knowing what you're saying. You got to speak it out loud. You got to say it out of your mouth. You got to, in the name of Jesus, you have no place over me and my family. Last night, when I was being tormented by these stupid spirits, poor Dan, he's probably just used to me now, but I just lay in bed and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, you tormenting spirits, you get out in Jesus' name. And after that, I went to sleep. You know, you just have to say it out loud. And you might go, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to do that. Listen, okay, fine. Then just go ahead and live with it then. You go ahead and be tormented. You go ahead and deal with fear. You go ahead and hold on to those strongholds and those bondages then. And wonder, where is God in it? God says, I'm there. I've given you a way of escape. I have handed you the keys to the kingdom. I have given you authority that you've never had. But yet you're not using it. Listen, speak out loud and command the devil and tell him where to go. In James 4, it says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I love this in the Amplified, so I'm going to read it there. So look up on the screens. It says, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, and we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to flesh, and using the weapons of man, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, our authority is what the enemy is afraid of. When the devil knows that a daughter knows who she is, all of a sudden, all strings are no longer connected for him. He has no place, and he knows that he has no ground, and he knows that he has no strongholds that you can't break off of your children, off of your husbands, off of your families. And listen, girls, you tell him where to go, and you send him back to hell where he belongs. Don't leave him around your home. Don't let him hang out with you. Don't let him entertain you. Stop watching those evil movies. Stop it. You're entertaining demons. We in American culture, we dress up like demons on Halloween. We entertain the darkness. We think it's good. And you know what? The devil loves it. Because he says, oh, they don't even know. Look at them. They think it's a cute little witch. They're even dressing their little children up like me. They're already identifying their children with me. Listen, we got to change what we do. You might not be popular. Your friends may not understand. You may not like fit in with the other moms in the crowd. I remember we were on the soccer team. Oh my gosh. And it was Halloween. And so some of the kids and their parents dressed up. And it was just so evil. And I'm sitting there going, do you know what, like, and then my kids, I'm like, guard your eyes, because they're all scared of them, because they're like demons, and I was just shocked that, and then the parents were like, it's so wonderful, isn't it? I love Halloween, and I'm like, if you only knew what you're entertaining. You're entertaining hell, and I don't want to entertain hell. I want to entertain heaven. I want to put heaven on a pedestal. There is a spiritual realm out there, but nobody's writing the stories about angels, are they? They're only writing the stories about demons. Because you know why? Because they're tormented by them. Those are real situations in those writers' lives. Those are real, evil, demonic things that those people are living out. And then you bring it into your home, and you think zombies are all great, and you think it's all wonderful. And you get yourself so tainted. Pastor Luke told me a story that in our shift service, when the zombie thing was going around, somebody asked him, had the audacity to ask him, because they're so confused in their mind. This is what they asked. Was Jesus a zombie? Because he raised from the dead? God, and I bet you the devil loved that. Loved to confuse them. Loved to make it sick in their heads. And you go, oh, but I really like it. Oh, but it doesn't affect me. You don't know that. You don't know it doesn't affect you. You might just be putting up with a familiar spirit that you've allowed in. And when something is familiar, you like to live with it. You like to live with it. The familiar spirit is the hardest one to release, because you're going to have to change your patterns. You're going to have to change your life. You're going to have to change your thoughts. You're going to have to retrain yourself to think kingdom and not think the way that you've always lived. And that familiar spirit could be generational. It could be from your mama, from your grandma, from your great grandma. It could be generational. So when you break those things off of your life, how do I do that, Pastor Jess? Get on your knees and say, right now, from this point on, I will not be this pattern. I will not put up with this spirit. You will not control my family, my life, my children, my future destiny. And you break those things off of you. It's not that hard. It's not. You just have to do it, and you have to want to do it. And listen, it's going to come back and knock in. You think fear doesn't try and knock on my door, knock on Chloe's door? It does. But every time I can recognize it, because it was a familiar spirit with me, I lived with it for a long time. And now I'm like, oh, spirit of fear, get out of here. You're not going to, no, don't try. And you know, after a while, they just realize, okay, well, I'm not getting through. So Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, girls, remember, your husband is not your enemy, but the spirit behind maybe what it is you're fighting could be. Many times I'll be in an argument with somebody and I'm like, what is going on here? What is it? You guys heard it from us last week. How many of you were here last Thursday morning? We were going back and forth, me and Cheyenne, and we didn't understand what was happening. And I went home and I'm like pressing through, God, what was that? That's not us. We love each other. This is weird. And he said, it's a spirit of division. You have to break it. And I, duh. Why did it take me all day to figure that out? You see, but then when you do, you break it and it's all good, because the devil wants to bring division in your homes. Sometimes when you're fighting with your husband, it's really not that. Maybe you need to separate and you need to say, in the name of Jesus, whatever's trying to divide my marriage right now, I break it in the name of Jesus. We are going to stay united. We're going to stay in love and we're going to stay in faith. And you have no power over this home. When your children want to dabble into things and they don't understand why you're saying, nope, we go to church. Nope, you can't listen to that music. Nope, you're not going to go watch those movies. Nope, you're not going to go be like the rest of the crowd. And you don't seem like the popular person. You hold your ground, mama, because one day they're going to have to fight for themselves and they're going to be remembered and reminded of what you taught them. And they're going to face their own demons and they're going to know how to fight them. Hold your ground. Tell the devil where to go. Put him in his place. This is a big one. Number three, surround yourself with others that will build your faith. When you go through a spiritual battle, it can be exhausting. When you're fighting so hard and you're just constantly going and believing God for the impossible and pushing through and pushing through and you have no one there and people are going, you're crazy. Why are you doing this? Why are you believing for the impossible? Why? And you're going, because I know that the God of the impossible can do anything, but you're alone in it. You're going to be weak. And the devil's waiting for you to get weak. He likes to wear us down so that he then can attack us when we're tired. So this is what you do. You link up with the girl next to you. Remember how I said, you're my sister? You're my sister. You're my family. We're in this together. You call a friend. You say, hey, listen, I'm tired. I need you to pray for me. Spiritually, I'm drained. Spiritually, I'm fighting something and I don't even know what it is. But will you pray for me? And guess what? They'll pray. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was around Cheryl Salem last week. This woman told me a story that I was like, you go, girl. Yeah. I'm like, oh, back up in my faith again. Like, put my big girl panties back on. Because she said that she got hit with another bout of cancer just recently. This is her third time. I mean, like, her testimony is so ridiculous that you're like, seriously, are you kidding me? One more thing. Just bring it on, devil, you know. And so she said that she had cancer and they had to cut from her eye here all the way down her face and cut it out. Like, and she said it was very, very deep. And so the doctor said to her, we need to cut out the cancer. And he said, we need to do it right away. And she goes, no, you're not going to do it right away. I need 3 weeks to speak to that cancer. And I was like, what? You go, girl. And so she went home and she spoke to that cancer. So she went in and she got it cut out, right? And they didn't have to go as deep as they said they were going to have to. And then they figure out, they test the, you know, the part that they cut out. And there was no cancer in it at all. None. Not just that, but she said she had a massive scar. And she said, do you see my scar? I'm like, no. She goes, exactly. I prayed over that scar. And I said, for it to go away. And it did. And I was like, dude, I need to get saved again. Like, where's my faith? You know, like, but being around people like that is going to stir you and remind you of who you are. It's going to encourage you to get yourself back. Put your big girl panties back on. Get back up, girlfriend. You got this. We can be in faith together. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And that's where we need each other. So you need to encourage each other. Speak faith to each other. Believe for the impossible together. Surround yourself with voices that are going to encourage you. Proverbs 13:20. I've been reading this to everybody on staff. Okay, you'll laugh. Proverbs 13:20 says in the Good News Translation, keep good company with the wise and you will become wise. If you make friends with stupid people, you will be ruined. Protect your heart. Don't have stupid friends. Okay? It's just, that was deep. All right. And the last point, and then we'll get going, okay? Is fight to the finish, lovely ladies. Fight to the finish. You say, oh, good, there's a finish line. The finish line is when we get to the throne room of heaven and we close our eyes and we say, oh, God, we probably fall into heaven like, oh, well, I'm here. I made it. Because we fought the good fight of faith. We held our ground. We used the keys to the kingdom. We used what God gave us. We used the power that was equipped in us to do what God's work demands of us here on this earth. You see, what we bind on earth is loose, is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So you have authority to say, I bind you, devil. You will not, you cannot, and you will not take my life. You will not take my children. You will not take my sickness. You will not take my home. I bind that in the name of Jesus, and I loose blessing. I loose healing. I loose freedom in my home. I loose the power of God to reign in my life and in my children's hearts. And you see, that's what God is saying we have to do. And sometimes you just forget. Sometimes you just live with it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening and that is happening and this is happening and that is happening and this is happening. And honestly, people are like, please don't call me anymore because something's always happening. Sometimes you just got to go and God is happening and Jesus is healing and I know that God is coming through and just start speaking what you don't see yet and speak it. Because you know what's going to happen, you'll begin to see it. And what's going to happen, you'll walk right into it. You won't even realize it happened. I've done that many times where I'm like, wait, I'm walking in the promises I prayed for like 10 years ago. Whoa, God totally, like, what a miracle. God healed this and I didn't even realize it. Because he just does what he needs to do. And when our faith backs what God does, God's already fought that fight. We had to press our faith together with him. And then putting the natural and the supernatural together, it becomes supernatural. Ephesians 6:10. And this is in the message. So I'm going to do part of this. Okay, listen, I know it's a little weird, but I like how it was written in the message in the very beginning. Okay, and then we're going to break it up. And we're going to go back to the New King James Version. Okay, you hang in with me. Ephesians 6:10 through 12. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, daughters, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. In Ephesians 6:13 through 17, in the New King James Version, it says, therefore, take up your whole armor, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having to put on your breastplate of righteousness, having to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and above all, taking on the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and to take a helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, into which is the word of God. Listen to me. Every day, put on your armor. Every day, be understanding that there are fiery darts coming at you. And ask the Holy Spirit, what's coming at me? What am I dealing with? And I constantly am asking him that. I'm constantly going, what am I facing right now? What? Because if there's like a lot of contention, I'm like, what am I facing right now? What is this? What's going on here? The other day, me and Dan were talking, and I could just feel him. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, what do I need to say right now? What do I need to pray for my husband? When he was pushing through in first service last week and on Saturday Sabbath service for souls and salvation, I was praying for Dan in ways I'd never prayed for him before. Because somebody has to hold his arms up when he's doing that, because he's contending against hell for souls. And it's not just a simple place, oh, another altar call, oh, the rock church, they take forever doing altar calls. Listen, no, we are contending for the devil not to have place in people's hearts. We are contending for souls. And so you pray for those pastors up there when they're doing that, because it takes a lot. You said, why was Teresa out of breath and sweating? Well, because it is harder to give an altar call than it is to preach a message. It is harder. Because you got a lot more demons coming at you. Because that's the one part of the service they want you to ignore. They want to confuse you and they want to complicate things. But that's where God wants to speak clearly. And when you begin to understand, I put on my helmet of salvation. This is who I am. This is what guards my mind. When the devil wants to bring those thoughts of depression, those thoughts of evil, those thoughts of suicide, those thoughts of whatever it is you're dealing with, put on your helmet of salvation. Remind the devil who he is. Take captive every thought that parades itself above the things of God. There's a million scriptures I could have pulled out, guys. There's a million scriptures on spiritual authority. And then you put on that breastplate of righteousness. You may not feel like you're a righteous daughter of God, but you know what? You act like it until you get there. And when you get there, you will be there. You say, what? What does that mean? That means right standing with God. That means we are shedding off our old man and we are putting on God. That means we are standing at his right hand and we are his ambassadors. So I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness and I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus in my home, with my family, at the store, with anybody that I come in contact with, because that's who I am. I've had people say, you're very confident. I say, no, I'm not. It's just Jesus in me. Because it is not me that is confident. It's him who is confident. You take out your sword of the spirit and you cut and you break every yoke that has so ensnared and entangled your family. Those generational curses, those things that divide, those things that bring death, those things that want to lie about all the little things that make a big deal about something. You break it and stop it in its tracks. You pull out your shield of faith and those fiery darts, when he starts shooting, you just block them and he has no place. And you just continue on with your day with your baby on your hip, making your meal, loving your husband. And you just keep blocking those darts, girl. You got this. You put on the gospel of Jesus. Every time you put on your shoes, you put on the gospel. And everywhere you go, the gospel goes with you. And you are the gospel and you are the walking apostle of Jesus Christ. You are the one that goes where God asks you to go. Oh, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go today? Who is it you want me to come in contact today with? And you see, you are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A woman who has weapons in her arsenal, and the devil does not want you to know what your weapons are. Oh, but they are mighty for pulling down of a strongholds, and you have authority over snakes and scorpions and those evil things that want to parade themselves against you. Listen to me. The devil does not want you to know your authority, and he does not want you to put on your armor. Every night before we go to bed, we put on our armor. You see, why do you do it before bed? Because my children were always attacked in their sleep. So we put it on at night, every night. Every night we put it on. And I'm hoping when I'm not with them, are they still putting it on when I'm not with them? Grammy? She's all, no. When they go to your house, they do. Okay, thank you. So, I mean, I just want that ingrained in them, because if they do that, it builds faith in us. It reminds us of who we are. And I literally visualize every time, like, come on, put your helmet on. And they're like, you know, and then they put their shoes on like this. They kick their feet on their beds, you know. And so just make it fun for your family, because the gospel can be fun. It doesn't have to be so deep like we talked about today. Ask the Holy Spirit how to speak to your children about these things. Ask the Holy Spirit how to confront your husband on these things. And listen to me. Do not go up to your husband and be like, I'm casting a demon out of you because you're crazy. And they're going to be like, stop going to that church. They're nuts. No. He might have demons, but when he's sleeping, slap some oil on him. Anoint that pillow with oil. No, I'm kidding. But listen, walk in love with your family. Stay in faith. But when you know that there's something that, this isn't right, go to the Holy Spirit and say, what am I facing? What is it I'm against right now? And then he'll give you a word. He'll say, you're coming up against this. Pray for this. Do this with your family. Pray for your aunties. Pray for your uncles. Pray for this. Do this. He'll guide you. And guess what? You won't be left alone. So if you got something from God today, let's give him a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.